This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Jeff Darlington. Thank you, Tracy Butler. Thank you, Jason Benetti. Thank you, Danny Zetterman, Chris Black, Tyler Aki. Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse with sports betting on lockdown. Fans are returning to America's original sport, horse racing. Download the Club Hawthorne app, wager on races like I'll be doing all weekend from around the world at clubhawthorneapp.com. And that leads me to my friends Adam Abdallah and Christopher Bleck. And I have a question for you gentlemen. Bet Online has just released this set of odds. What NFL team will Dak Prescott be playing for week one of the 2021 regular season if he's not in Dallas? Can you tell me who the number one team is?
If he's not in Dallas, and what's up, Cap? Long time no talk. Give me the Indianapolis Colts. Are the Colts on the board?
Adam Abdallah, you want to make your guess before I give these?
Since you're bringing it up, it's probably the Bears.
Chris Bleck, you get the gold star. It is the Indianapolis Colts at 6-1.
No shot.
The second choice at 7-1 is the beloved Bear. 8-1, the Vikings.
Intriguing.
8-1, the Vikings.
Now they got a quarterback.
Yeah, they got
and
the
then
guy.
Tied at 9-1 are the Jaguars, Chargers, and Saints.
I think the Colts have their guy, too.
Ooh, Saints. Who's See the what Colts they're doing have? There?
Jacoby Brissett.
Nah, they're not in on him.
Nah, they are.
No,
trust me.
I don't think so.
Trust.
I don't think
trust.
So.
Trust. Trust. Hi, Cap.
How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm surprised to see you refer to us as your friends because normally we're called the H word around here.
I got
normally
the Twitch
normally we're dropping H bombs around here when you're talking about Chris and I when we're not even in the building.
I am huge fans of yours.
I'm just saying.
I could still call you a big glass of haterade.
I mean, you can if you want to, but I don't think we've ever been haters at any point, have we? Oh, you gotta. It's too much on me, Chris. The camera's too. You gotta turn it a little bit,
okay,
a little bit towards you. Sorry, Cap. We gotta do this on the air. Turn the camera. There you go. You can watch us twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. No longer the producer cam. Now the Black and Abdallah cam.
Let's go, Cap. All right. Yeah. So you want to do this, Trubisky?
There you go. That's
Raiders.
Better.
Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Floor's
camera
yours.
Looks better now. Thank you.
You're happy now?
Well, I don't want all the shine. Chris is driving. I want him. You know, the camera's got to be equal. We got to have equal screen time here. I don't need all of it on me, and then you get a half face of Chris.
I thought we were talking about Trubisky.
No, we were talking about, well, yeah. We were talking about a lot of things.
I didn't bring up the name Trubisky. Never did I bring that name up.
Oh,
I brought
so we're just haters
Dak
at life.
Prescott.
I got it. I like Dak. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a good quarterback for a long time. I'm surprised that the Cowboys want to play this game where they just kind of franchise tag him for a couple of years and try and figure out whether or not he's worthy of a long-term deal. I would prefer to lock him up early so then I know in like 4 or 5 years he might be at a discount for my team. And at that point, hopefully I'm still trying to win Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys. So like I'm really high on Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And I think I look at Dak Prescott's game, and he is someone who I could see winning a championship. He is a quarterback that could consistently be in the top 10 of quarterbacks in the NFL, and I like where he is going.
Let me answer your question with a question, Kath. Let me go question with you.
Mm-hmm.
If Dak Prescott is quarterbacking the Bears next season, is Matt Nagy coaching him?
Oof, that's a great question.
Not a point, though, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, because the Bears feel like they have built this phenomenal culture. And if you talk to some of the guys who play on that team, they will tell you, this guy's culture up here, man, it is awesome. There is no way, short of them going like 3-13, that they are bailing on the culture they've established. They've got a good enough defense that they should still be good. So,
Second question, when we get that great picture of Dak Prescott signing a multi-year deal with the beloved up at Hallis Hall, is Ryan Pace sitting next to him?
I'm going to say yes, because they love Ryan in the executive suite. The McCaskies are huge fans, and I've been told yes. Short of, like, if we play 16 games and the Bears are, like, the worst team in the NFL, problems. But other than that, I fully believe both guys are going to be there next year.
Well, they're not going to be the worst team in the league. There's no chance of that.
Like, if
no
they shot. Go 8-8 and they get quarterback play from both guys, and they play 16 games, they don't make the playoffs, yes, I think there'll be a huge change at quarterback, but I do think Matt and Ryan will still be there.
Okay. I could go with you on that. I don't think that this is a make-or-break year on Ryan Pace. I dislike a lot of the moves he makes. He gives away draft picks during the NFL draft like they're lollipops on Halloween. I'm not a fan of that. But when you kind of look at what he's built defensively, you got to give him credit there. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, he does have some nice weapons he's assembling on offense. Allen Robinson, Cole Kmet, David Montgomery.
He just foobarred the quarterback. That's what he did.
But it's only the most. I mean yeah, it's the most yeah. important I position mean, in sports.
It's not agreed. Just the quarterback. He also created a window where you win now, which is fantastic. But by the fact of giving away draft picks, as we move into the future, that will deplete the roster as we go forward. So, yes, you have to win now, because later on, the less draft picks you have going into the future, that will hurt the depth of this team, a strength of this team at the moment that won't be there in 2, 3, 4 years down the road when you're giving up draft picks.
I don't think he's drafted a good offensive player.
Can you name one, Cap?
Cole Kmet aside, because we haven't seen him yet.
Cody Whitehair was a very good draft, right?
Okay. Offensive weapon. Take the line out of it. Offensive weapon.
I still believe in David Montgomery. I think he's going to be a good player.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's good. Yeah. I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
So you're saying like a game-changing weapon?
Look, game-changing is Adrian Peterson, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You're only naming running backs, though. What about all the wide receivers? He's Kevin White.
He was asking about David Montgomery specifically.
Yeah.
So that's what my answer was. I think he's a very solid NFL back. If you block for him, if you call plays correctly, if your quarterback plays decent football, I think he's a solid, solid running back. Now, at wide receiver, this is the make-or-break year for Anthony Miller. You traded a pick to get him because you felt like we have to have him. A lot of people liked that pick around the league. He's been injured 2 straight years. It's either put up or shut up time for that guy right now. Agreed?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I also don't think, I agree with you where I don't think that Pace is out, but I think that if they do end up 8-8 or 7-9, something like that, then you're in the market for a new quarterback, and that, because of the draft position and the other draft capital that they don't have to trade up, he's going to have to sign one of these free agent quarterbacks, and the best one that's going to be out there is probably going to be Dak. So you're going to have to pay a lot for him.
Yeah, they're going to have $31 million in cap space as of today, and obviously you can restructure and cut and get more. $31 million at the end of the 2020 season. They'll have $100 million after the 21 season, so that if Dallas tagged Dak again, they're not going to tag him at $54 million for the third time. So I would think it might make more sense after the 2021 season, and the Bears would be right there in play because they would have $100 million in space.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think that they're going to need a new quarterback because if Nick Foles is the guy, I don't know how much longer he's going to be. Is he formidable?
Easy, Abdallah. Easy.
What?
Easy.
What?
Just easy.
Do I need to tread lightly?
You assume that they need a new quarterback. That's treading thin ice.
It's afternoon, though. I can say things like
that. Cap, is that okay? They're going to need a new quarterback?
I'm not convinced they will. They might.
Abdallah's in here hating, suggesting that they're going to need a new quarterback.
I'm not hating. I just don't. What's Foles done lately? What's he done lately?
I'm not convinced Foles is going to be the starter.
Not the starter.
That's a discussion
for another
day.
You're talking about backups.
He's not going to be the starter. What's he here for?
They had to get somebody better than Chase Daniel. Someone that
they had to get
push.
Somebody better than Trubisky. What do you mean? It's Nick Foles. They paid him. They gave him. He gave him draft picks and paid him a ton of money. What are you talking about? He's starting.
Easy.
I'm just telling you, this is not a fait accompli.
You want to wager?
Foles.
You want to wager?
Oh, we're going to have a bet.
You
want to
wager? You want a little bet?
Oh, hold on a second.
Oh,
Hang on. Let me look in this drawer where I keep the $100 you paid me from the last bet.
Okay, yeah, I'll look in my drawer where you paid me for the for the first $100. I just gave you back your $100.
Wow.
Congratulations. You bought in when Khalil Mack was there. Congratulations.
We're going to have a showdown between Abdallah.
No, I made that bet with you before Khalil Mack was ever traded here.
Okay, and then he got here, and then they won more games because he was good and had nothing to do with the quarterback play. Nothing.
So, I want to just watch this thing play out. I am not convinced that it's a fait accompli.
Look, are you guys going to bet? Are you guys going to show down here?
Look, Nick Foles,
you gonna bet?
Has been handed the keys to multiple teams as a starter, and he doesn't last for whatever reason. You can tell me, well, he broke his collarbone. Okay, all I know is they kept Gardner Minshew around, moved him out. They gave him the keys in St. Louis to a big deal. Yeah, that didn't work after a year. Get him out of here. So it's not a fait accompli. We'll see.
So are you guys betting or not?
Yeah. Are we not?
Sounds like a showdown, Cap. What's the bet?
You know what? I've got this $100 earmarked for some things I want to spend it on.
You haven't spent it yet? You bought a lot of new stuff. I mean, you went on vacation.
You
spent that $100. I mean, I'm willing to.
Whoa,
I've got money, you know. I've got money to bet.
Are you backing down from Abdallah?
Come on. Put a shekel or three on it.
Yeah, I'm just not interested in betting with you.
Wow.
For the record. Please mark that.
Scared money don't make money. Wow. I heard that.
Wow.
I heard that.
Can't lose what you don't put in.
Yeah, you're right. You can't lose a bet if you don't bet. That's correct.
Or if you don't trust the guy.
Maybe you don't trust him. Yeah. Maybe you don't.
I'm just going to let this play out, and I hope you better hope that Mitch doesn't.
Maybe you don't trust the man in the arena. I don't know. I think
Abdallah will be fine.
Yeah, I think
he's going to be okay.
I'll be okay, but, you know, I would like an extra $100, but it's okay.
Oh,
it's cool.
So great. I've got to get out of your guys' way.
Hold on. You are not doing anything today. You don't have to get out of our way.
You can sit there. Come on. Yeah, you're there. Nobody's there. Minnie's gone. You're fine. Come on. Yeah, what are you doing? You're not doing anything.
All right. Fine. We'll talk socks with Chuck Garfon coming up next.
What do you got? What do you got? You're not supposed to be doing anything, first of all.
All right.
You're quarantined. You're not supposed to be doing anything. So what else do you have?
I'm actually taping TV.
Yeah, okay.
What are you 20 taping? Minutes. Right. You got 20 more minutes then. What
Scott,
are you taping?
Got to roll.
I got
to. He doesn't want to talk to Biscuit with us anymore.
Get TV clothes.
Wow. For the record,
what are you taping? Who are you taping?
I've got a panel discussion on Sports Talk Live.
I'm here.
I've got to do the rush today on NBC Sports Chicago. So I've got a lot going on.
All right. We just enjoyed our conversation with you, Cap. We just wanted to keep talking.
I don't want you to miss your break. I want you to keep the clock on time.
That hasn't stopped you before.
Yeah.
So I want to get out of your way
anyway,
and let you get to your fine program.
All right, Chuck Garfon, coming up next, we'll talk White Sox baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a wonderful weekend.
All right, Cap. All right, okay.
A big fan of yours. Big.
What?
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
You and Cap had a bet on Mitchell Trubisky, but
I'm willing because you know how I feel.
He had things to do today.
I don't think that there's a universe in all of the universes that Rick and Morty can travel to where Trubisky starts.
Yeah,
so.
he backed out of there pretty quick.
Unless Nick Foles gets injured. That would be the caveat. Like the caveat to the bet would be an injury, right? Like that's the understood, yes.
Of course. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah sitting in for Carmen and Yurko today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. It's good to talk a little White Sox right now because Yoan Moncada was back on the south side yesterday. He's someone, Abdallah, that in the lineup, the Sox are going to need him if they're going to make the playoffs in this short 60-game schedule.
Absolutely they are. And, you know, he tested positive for COVID-19, so he was out for a little bit, and now he's back. And, you know, he's a leader on that team, both on and off the field, and somebody that, that White Sox fans, a highlight that they can look to this season is someone who's going to not just take another next step, but, you know, progress as the other guys have been as well.
Let's go to our Corona hotline and talk with Chuck Garfon from NBC Sports Chicago. He's also our White Sox voice here on ESPN 1000. And Chuck, you have the game coming up on the south side. You will usually join Carmen and Yurko at 1 o'clock on Fridays, joining us early because you're on the call of the game today. So when you see Yoan Moncada back at Sox Park, what are your thoughts and what did you hear yesterday?
So Moncada is back with the team, but we don't know exactly when he'll be back on the field in games. He arrived here yesterday after a testing negative two times in a row. That's the protocol needed to get back on the field with your teammates. And he took some grounders. He took batting practice. Rick Renteria said he looked really good batting from the left side. And he had to quarantine himself in his home here in Chicago for about a couple of weeks, and he couldn't really do much. So it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get into baseball shape. And he's hoping he'll be ready for opening day, which is a week from today against the Twins. But we'll have to wait and see how things progress. He does feel like he can get ready in time, but he's going to need some at-bats. And just to get him back in the lineup and playing third base will be a huge plus for this White Sox team from the jump, that's for sure.
Is he worried about any long-term effects from having COVID-19? You know, it affects everybody differently as far as conditioning and, you know, breathing and everything like that. Did he have any symptoms? And does he worry about anything that could, you know, last longer as this is a 60-game sprint here coming up?
Yeah, the only symptoms that he had, and it was only for a few days, were the loss of smell and taste, and then it went away. He did not express any long-term concerns. I mean, that was the only thing that he had, and, you know, he's feeling totally normal and fine. So I don't think that's going to be, certainly in his mind, an issue going forward.
Chuck Arfine from NBC Sports Chicago joining Chris Bleck and Am Abdallah, sitting in for Carmen and Yurko today here on ESPN 1000. You know, Dallas Keuchel is going to be a veteran presence in the rotation that I think is going to be needed. What do you think he's brought to this group so far, not only in spring training back before March, but also in this summer camp to kind of get everyone in the right mindset to take on this schedule?
Yeah, because, well, listen, he brings so much to the table besides what he can do on the mound. Here's somebody who went through a rebuild from start to finish with the Astros, won a World Series there. And he actually started taking a close eye on the White Sox last August when the White Sox came to Atlanta where he was playing with the Braves. And he was seeing the young guys on the team and said to himself, I'm a free agent at the end of the season. This is a team that I would be very interested in playing for. And so obviously the White Sox signed him, and he's bringing leadership. He is someone who knows what it takes to go from being, you know, if you want to say a rebuilding team or a team that is trying to start winning. And that's what this team is trying to do right now. And so he is in constant communication. Him and Gio Gonzalez have taken big leadership roles here. They've both been to the playoffs, talking with Giolito and Cease and basically anybody who will listen and even just giving advice, and Yasmani Grandal as well. So I think he was like the perfect pitcher for the White Sox to sign this offseason and to really help be the bridge to go from being a team out of the playoffs to being one that should make the playoffs, if not this year, next year.
You mentioned him, and he was going to be my next question, but Yasmani Grandal coming over from the Brewers, having been with the Dodgers before, he also has playoff experience and everything like that. What has he brought, and what can he add to this pitching staff, obviously catching all of these guys? What can he add, and what kind of experience can he bring to those guys, having gone through the playoffs and everything like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that is a big helper. He's Jimmy Lambert, a White Sox pitching prospect who's here in camp, called him a pro's pro, where, you know, in spring training, Jimmy Lambert, for one, was just throwing a bullpen, and there was Grandal just watching him. And then after his bullpen, Grandal, who was not participating in it, just came up to him and gave him some words of advice that Lambert took to heart. And then here yesterday in the intra-squad game, Lambert, who had never even thrown to Grandal in any kind of game action, let alone, you know, here at the park, his catcher was Yasmani Grandal. He did a good job against Grandal. Grandal's going to bring so much to the table. He's a switch hitter. He homered last night against, Lopez. And yeah, against Lopez. And then Lopez came back and struck him out, which was good to see him come back and do that. Grandal and McCann, you combine these two guys, and I think that's the best catching tandem in the major leagues. And when you consider the hole that the White Sox had at catcher after A.J. Pierzynski left and where they are now, that's a huge upgrade. And there's still Zach Collins and Yermín Mercedes behind them. So the Sox are looking really good right now behind the plate, starting with Grandal.
Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports talking White Sox with Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah here in for Carmen and Yurko today on ESPN 1000. Dylan Cease last night had 5 strikeouts in a row. Tell us what you think about Dylan Cease's potential for this season. Like, do you think he'll hit stride in this short 60-game schedule to really make an impact here in the rotation?
If last night is any indication, that answer, my answer to your question, is a resounding yes. That was the best I've seen him pitch. And he said, he struck out 8 guys in 4 2/3. And he said just today, like literally 15 minutes ago with the media, that his confidence is at a place like that he hasn't been before. I mean, where he feels that good right now on the mound. Now, you could look at, well, he was mainly playing against AAA guys. I mean, the A team was behind him, but that stuff that he was throwing, the breaking balls that he kept throwing, Grandal was behind the plate, I have not seen that from him. And he even said, like, he hasn't been able to on the major league mound put it all together where he had the stuff and the command and the consistency, and he had that last night. So if he can bring that to the start of the season and throughout this season, he's going to be in great shape. And he said today, I'm ready for the regular season. He's already ready. We're a week away.
A lot of conversation this week on the station has been about the realistic expectations for Luis Robert.
He
does look good. But what are the realistic expectations for this guy? I mean, I'm reading articles. Can he live up to the hype? He's going to be the next big thing. And some people are saying, well, he's just going to be a guy you can count on every single day. What are the realistic expectations for him this season?
Well, I can say this. You can count on him every single day in center field. He will bring you great defense. And I've been watching him here for a couple of weeks every single day. Like, the ball is anywhere, I don't even say anywhere near him, anywhere within 30, 40 yards of him, and he's going to get it. The question is going to be what he can do at the plate. What can he do at the plate against major league pitching? You throw mistakes at him, he will oftentimes make you pay. He is going to have to be able to lay off pitches out of the zone and not chase. This was the issue that Eloy Jiménez certainly had at the start of last season. And opposing pitchers are going to be looking for his weakness or weaknesses at the plate and try to expose them. So that is going to be a work in progress. Do not expect Luis Robert to be a finished product, not only at the start of the season, but in all of 2020. But on many a night, you are going to see him do special things, and he looks like he belongs already. But he's a young guy. You wish he had a whole full 2020 season, but we'll take whatever we can get from Luis Robert under these circumstances. But it's must-see TV, and Jason Benet and I will be on the call at 1 o'clock on NBC Sports Chicago, and you can see him play here today.
Last one for Chuck, because I heard you on with Waddle and Sylvie talking about Luis Robert, and what stuck out to me was you describing his center field play. And what I was thinking about listening to you guys talk about it is that's really got to help out a pitching staff and the rest of the team defensively. If you can have someone in center field controlling that much space, how does that help a pitching rotation throughout the season, help the other players defensively on the field?
It's huge. It's huge. And he takes command out there. He's not shy to tell Nomar Mazara in right or Eloy Jiménez in left, I got it. And so it helps Mazara and Jiménez in the fact that they don't have to cover as much ground. Now, Adam Engel, who has played a lot of center field, you know, he's a legit center fielder, so they've had a good player there in the past. But, you know, I haven't seen him enough to say he's better at this or that than Engel. What I would say for what I've seen from Engel is really good at the balls that go over his head where he has to go backwards to get them. The lateral movement that I've seen from Robert, I've seen a lot more of that, is special, the ground that he can cover. And he made a great catch yesterday. Actually put a little he ripped up the outfield grass a little bit trying to make a catch, and he made it. And it was something to see. So he's just a lot of fun to watch. And it's going to be it's a special time for White Sox fans. The door is opening right now. How much is it going to open in 2020? I don't know. But it's White Sox fans, you've got a key. You can open the White Sox door, walk on in, and enjoy the future, the present and the future, because it's going about to get exciting.
1:10 start today?
1:10 start. We'll be on the air at 1. It's a beautiful day for baseball. I'm standing 12 feet away from Jason Benetti. He's psyched. I'm psyched. We're in the booth. We're ready to go.
Thank you, Chuck. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
We appreciate it. That's Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago. Hear him 3 times a week here on ESPN 1000. And you'll hear him Fridays at 1 o'clock with Carmen and Yurko. Today had to move up because he's on the call with Jason Benetti on NBC Sports Chicago.
Live baseball today.
Hey, listen, next Thursday, the Major League Baseball starts up.
It starts earlier because you got exhibition games. Like, I know the Major League season starts, but you want to watch players not in an intra-squad game, you can watch some exhibition games if you want to. Like, I feel like this is the only time I'm like, all right, exhibition games, let's do this.
Exhibition baseball.
I will watch.
Think about that. Think about a year ago. Would you ever be thirsting for exhibition baseball games?
The numbers came out today. They've had even less positive tests. They're at like a 0.1% positivity rate so far. This has been great for baseball so far. Now they have to start traveling here now, and that might complicate a few things. But ultimately, baseball's on track to start next week.
I have to ask you this question next. Am I too high on Kyler Murray? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Was awesome last year. Am I like the only one that's over the top with Kyler Murray? Like, I feel like, okay, so what happened yesterday, right? The Madden ratings came out for EA Sports for the new Madden game. Kyler Murray's rating is a 77.
Okay.
The same as Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Trubisky is what, 73 or 75, somewhere in there, right? Same ballpark. I think it's a 75, okay? The point is not to debate the Bears quarterback stacking up to Kyler Murray. The point is, how could Kyler Murray be rated so low? Last year in the NFL, his rookie season, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, completion percentage of 64%. He threw for 3,700 yards. I mean, their offense, the way it's designed around Kyler Murray, their ability to run the football, not a lot of people know that the Cardinals were very good at running the football last year, which also helped. Now he gets DeAndre Hopkins as a wide receiver. Cliff Kingsbury is a very good head coach, offensive mind. I think Kyler Murray could easily, by the end of this season, be a legit top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And to top it off, when he throws the football, it looks like, doesn't it look the best in the NFL? That spiral coming out, the way that flies through the air. There's not a quarterback in the league that throws a ball as pretty as Kyler Murray.
Here's a problem. And this is not a knock against Kyler Murray whatsoever. But their defense gave up the most yards, the most yards per game. They had the worst defense in the league last year. They weren't last. How about this? They weren't last in points per game, all right, allowed. I'll give them that. They were like fifth from worst. The Dolphins were the worst team. But they were close. They were only a few points off, right? So he didn't get any favors by his defense. And from every NFL person that you and I have talked to for the entire offseason, leading into this season, says that Cliff Kingsbury is not necessarily trying to bring this air raid offense to the NFL. He's bringing in concepts of the air raid that Kyler Murray is accustomed to, and so it's going to work in his favor. Think of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, right? Think of playing to your quarterback's strengths. That's what they're doing. They just needed some time to get this defense together, get him a couple more weapons, but ultimately, I agree with you. I think Kyler Murray is going to be great. I think the NFC West is going to be the toughest division in football, because I think all of those teams are playoff caliber teams.
Absolutely.
I think the Cardinals are a playoff caliber team. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl this year, but I think that they can make a run and be, quote, in the hunt or whatever for the playoffs. But Kyler Murray, I don't think people get too caught up in these Madden ratings. I think it's just something for us to talk about again. Like, these players take them seriously because they think it's a reflection on them, but it's just, I don't know, it's just stats. Like, it's just, should he be better than a 77? Sure, he's not. Okay, like, I don't, I'm not offended.
Let's listen to Kyler.
He might be offended. I am not offended for Kyler Murray.
It's Chris Black and Adam Abdallah sitting in for Carmen and Yurko today here on ESPN 1000. Here's Kyler Murray on First Take finding out his Madden rating for this season.
Passing for over 3,500 yards, rushing for over 500 yards. Only Q and Cam Newton are the only quarterbacks to do that in NFL history in your rookie season. And that being said, I started this segment with your Madden ratings. I know players take this seriously. What do you think of 77?
Honestly, I thought you were joking when you said that, because I ended the year at a 77, but I can't really say everything I want to say on the air right now, but I kind of take it as disrespect, but it is what it is. Like I said, I let my play speak for itself. So hopefully, it'll bump up during the year.
When it comes to the Madden, who do y'all blame for the right? Like, for example, sometimes people sit up there and if something's happening in the media, something said, they'll say the media, whatever. But when you see a rating, the Madden NFL, and you got a rating, because guys are always complaining about it, I want to know who exactly do y'all point the finger at to blame when y'all are dissatisfied with a rating for Madden?
I don't know who to talk to. I mean, I've let them know my complaints many times. I've talked to a lot of guys that work with Madden, I'm really shocked that I'm a 77 overall. So I don't really know what to say. Oh man,
Kyler,
that's tough.
What would real quick before I ask what I wanted to get to? What number would you give yourself? What Madden rating would you give yourself? What did you deserve? You were only a rookie, but you had a very good year for a rookie. What number did you deserve in Madden?
At least in the 80s. Like, I mean, if we're talking strictly Madden, my speed and acceleration, anything that has to do with speed, I'm top tier. I'm in the 1A, 1B of the league. On top of that, you got the throwing ability and all that, the dual threat ability. Not many dudes in the league can do, what I'm saying? Somebody in the Madden office is trying to hold me back. I don't know.
So that's Kyler Murray on First Take yesterday. And yeah, Abdallah, you might be right. Madden ratings are not worth anything, really. If you're a player in the league, you might look at it and say, like, how do they really think that I'm only this caliber of player when this guy is not even a starter in the league, or this guy isn't very good, yet I'm only a 77 and I'm like the up and coming next thing. People weren't sure about me at Oklahoma. I come to the NFL and I'm legit from day one starter. He didn't ride the bench. Like, Kyler Murray is a really good quarterback. So, you hear the whole conversation. Yeah. Do Madden rings really matter? No, they don't. But I think to look at quarterbacks and try and figure out who the next best quarterbacks are going to be, I would have to put Kyler Murray at the top of that race.
Oh, like the next guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, absolutely.
Because, like, there's the generation of, like, Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Then there's the, like, questionable generation of the Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfields.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
behind, and Lamar Jackson is with, like, the Mahomes and Watson.
Absolutely.
So Watson, Jackson, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Those three, those are, like, the faces of the league.
Yeah.
Watson, Mahomes, and Jackson. Lamar Jackson. Those
and now
three
you've
players
got,
are going to be the faces of the league for, like, the next 15 years.
And now you've got Kyler Murray and then probably Joe Burrow coming with him. Tua Tagovailoa, if he
Tua.
Can be good.
And
then
it'll be Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor
next
Lawrence.
Year.
Yep. So,
and Justin Fields from Ohio State.
Absolutely. So he's like the oldest of those guys. And I think that in his second year with you know, in the NFL, I think he's only going to get better. You know, people on Twitch, you can watch us, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, are saying, well, you know, the tape is going to catch up with Kingsbury. Like, people are going to know what he's doing.
See, okay, here's the misnomer.
They compare it to Nagy's, like, gadget plays and stuff like that.
Here's the misnomer, though, okay, right? You'd say, all right, gadget plays, air raid offense.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Kingsbury, how is that going to work out when teams catch up to him? What if I told you that the Cardinals last year in yards per rush were second in the NFL? Do the person that would respond with the air raid and the gimmicks, would you then reconsider your thought process if you understood that Kingsbury is running the football more effectively than the majority of the league, thus allowing Kyler to go down the field throwing it?
Me, a knowledgeable NFL fan, would say,
like, they have more yards per rush than the Titans.
I get it. Me, an intelligent NFL observer of the NFL, would say, isn't that like when Chip Kelly was with the Eagles and they ran the most, and then it caught up with him the second year? And Chip Kelly was supposed to be this guy that was going to bring in, you know, plays per game. We're going to run more plays than anybody else, and we're going to have more opportunities than everybody else and all that kind of stuff. And it was great the first year, but then the second year, it caught up to him.
Well, listen, if you and I learned anything about those days, we were all in with Chip Kelly.
I love Chip Kelly.
And Chip We Trust was the motto of the show back then.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
I think it's all an interesting conversation. I don't think, to answer our own question, I don't think we're too high on Kyler Murray. I think the Madden rating is just wrong.
I think it's wrong, too, and I think that you can like a young quarterback who's going to be, you know, one of the next, hopefully, in that next level. Hopefully, again, you know, he gets into the top 15, then he gets into the top 10. I like the path that Kyler Murray is on as a quarterback. I think the Cardinals have found their answer at quarterback. I don't think he's going to pull a Baker Mayfield and be bad after his first year.
We had quotes from Jerry Reinsdorf yesterday about the money that is lost by his two franchises over the course of this pandemic. Do we have news about the White Sox and money issues coming up? We'll find out in Trending Today next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Check this out
on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by Studio 41. Home design showrooms are open to everyone, homeowners, contractors, designers, and architects. For locations, visit shopstudio41.com.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The show on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. You know what? By the way, as I'm reminding people to watch us on Twitch,
watch us.
Go get a Sylvie Strong shirt, why don't you, at obviousshirts.com.
And let me tell you this. If you already have a Sylvie Strong shirt, all the benefits going to the V Foundation, obviousshirts.com. Just released today. Today.
Oh, there's something hot?
Today.
Off the presses?
Both designs. The one drawn by his son.
Mason.
The one with the little microphone.
Mason.
On a mask.
Yeah?
You need new
masks? Wait, on a mask?
On masks.
Really?
Small and large sizes, depending on your face size.
That's awesome.
Yeah, get it on a mask. You can wear a shirt and a mask.
That's great.
Or wear just the mask. Don't wear a shirt.
Well,
there's no rules that say we can't go shirtless.
Stay in your house if you're just going to do the mask.
Yeah, well.
Like mask only, stay at home.
Well, no, if you're going to wear the mask, you can go outside.
No, but make sure you're dressed.
Well, you can, I mean, look, if you're outside on your porch or whatever, you are in your backyard, you can go shirt off, mask on.
Yeah, yeah, but
you could also go mask off. But when you go out of your house,
have bottoms on.
And you go to an establishment, whether it be in a restaurant or a store or anything, wear a damn mask.
That's awesome. You can get them at obviousshirts.com.
And make sure you wear a Sylvie Strong one from obviousshirts.com.
That's great. Here we go. This is Trending Today. Tyler Aki producing the show today. Tyler, what's trending on social media?
All right, guys. Trending Today brought to you by Trend Micro. So the big news that's coming across the wire right now, Ken Rosenthal tweeting, grim news. The White Sox yesterday informed a number of people in their baseball operations department that their contracts will not be renewed after they expire at the end of October, sources tell The Athletic. Three names were given out, a special assistant who's worked for the team since 1991, and then a couple of scouts as well.
Okay, so they're paring down some of the employees who are running in the baseball operations. So I wonder, because Reinsdorf gave the quotes to the Bob Nightingale mm-hmm. in USA Today mm-hmm. about how the loss of money due to the pandemic in Major League Baseball, how he wanted more games in the season, but for his basketball franchise, the Chicago Bulls, they played 75% of their season, so it's not as bad as what he was quoted in. I wonder if the finances, this is a part of that, or if it was just restructuring that they were going to do anyway. I feel like the timing is a little odd. Isn't this the type of move you make in the off season after the year is over?
Well, it says that their contracts were up for renewal here soon.
Okay.
So, and also, they're basically just saying, we're not renewing your contract.
We're not going to...
Yeah. And also, this is part of the fact that it looks like minor league affiliates are going to be chopped down, so it's part of that skimming of the fat. And then on top of that, the fact that a lot of scouting, this is just the trend. They're going off of more data and video as opposed to the eye test.
See, and that's the thing. And Tyler, you worked in some minor league ballparks in mm-hmm. your time. Your long time as a long major league scout eyes, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's always the eye test that have to match with baseball players, right? Like, it's such an analytical sport, but then you always go back to how'd he look, right? Like, the old baseball guy gives you that.
Trouble how with the Curve comes to mind. Remember that movie? Yeah. Trouble with the Curve. Yes. Clint Eastwood, an old grizzled scout.
How
he's got trouble with the curveball.
I saw him with my eyes.
His stats are there, but when I look at him in the face and his soul.
No, because you got to see the way the guy's in the on-deck circle, right? Like, you got to see the way he uses
the throwing helmets in the dugout, stuff like that.
What's he hitting?
How's he stretching there? Look at that stretch. That's an elite athlete stretching right there. Right? Like,
sound? What is this? The ball.
Oh, yeah. It's a different sound.
The sound of the ball off his bat. It's a different sound.
Yeah.
It's a special sound.
There is a big part of scouting, and I think there is still value in the eye test. I remember when Kyler Murray got drafted, and I worked in a league, a college baseball league, that Kyler Murray played in. And watching him, I saw him play three games. And when I saw he was choosing football, I knew he made the right decision.
What else?
Rosenthal just tweeted, White Sox official clarifies, changes in scouting stem more from pandemic, leading to elimination of positions than industry trends.
Wow. So we were right. So the initial reaction that we had was right.
I mean, and let's not get it twisted. We know that that Jerry Reinsdorf owns not one but two teams. And they also have this other team, the Chicago Bulls. They also have another guy who, if they were to let him go, would be due some money.
Huh.
And this all ties into Jim Boylan being the coach of the Bulls next year.
Wow.
So good luck with that.
Okay, what else is trending, Tyler?
A couple other Madden ratings, since we were on that topic not too long ago. Yep. Michael Thomas joining the 99 club. And Rob Gronkowski, a 95 in Madden.
That's too high. Michael Thomas is legit one of the top five players in the NFL, so I understand the 99 club for him. But Gronk, 95, that's ridiculous.
What was Gronk's number when he retired, do we know? When he, quote, retired, do we know? Was it a 95? Because he
I bet it was higher.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he was hurt. I thought he was lower.
Remember, the way that Madden's formatted now, everything goes by the online ratings.
Yeah.
So if he's injured and he's limping along in that Super Bowl and not doing much.
Right.
That number's going to go down into the 80s, I would guess.
Yeah. All right. But that's interesting. And then also Daniel Snyder today released a statement that they are going to review everything going on within the organization based on the Washington Post article that was published yesterday in sexual harassment allegations within the franchise. So it'll be interesting to see, Abdallah, how this plays out for Daniel Snyder, because I'm not sure if the league could necessarily force him out as the owner.
Yeah, and Ron Rivera had some quotes as well today, too, saying that, you know, he was brought in to instill a new culture and that he was going to do that. His daughter works for the team now, so he's like, you're damn right, I'm going to make sure that this new culture takes over and make sure this never happens again. But he also said that Dan Snyder has given him the keys to this franchise to kind of do that. And unless the NFL... You're right. Like, everybody can say, sell the team, sell the team. Unless the NFL forces him to sell the team, he doesn't have to.
Jeff Darlington was on with Cap earlier today, and he suggested that in the court of law, Daniel Snyder would win that case if they tried to force him to sell the team. So, like, unfortunately, I kind of feel right now we're going to be looking at Snyder still as the owner of whatever the Washington Football Club becomes.
Yeah, I think so too. And just to go back to what we were talking about before, I looked it up. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski both had a perfect 99 overall rating heading into EA Sports' upcoming Madden 19 video game. This is from June of 2018.
So there you go.
He had a 99.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleck. Thank you, Tyler. We appreciate that. Trending today. Brought
Tyler
to you by
seems
Trend
very surprised.
I know. He's stunned.
I'm floored. Speechless.
I told you guys he was going to be a 99.
But what about the ratings changed. What was he at the end of the season?
People think Gronk is incredible, which he is when he is healthy and playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing the WWE acting that he does. Isn't that what he was doing?
He was. Yeah, he's pretty good on that Game On show, though.
The what?
Game On?
Game On?
Game On.
What's that?
It's a show.
Where?
He's on it.
What show?
It's a show where they play little games. Him and, like, Serena Williams, and there's a comedian that hosts it, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Carmen and Yuriko on ESPN 1000.
1000. Chicago's home for sports.